Okay, so so I wanted to talk today. I said to Chanim, like, it's okay if I do pre-Pesach, right? She's like, I think people want that. I was like, I don't know. I could do Mitzvah also, but I should do a Pesach thing. And I think that sometimes we spend so much time at the Seder, or before the Seder, focus on so many different pieces, the Manashtana, or focusing on, I don't know what, there's a hundred different things that we focus on at the Seder, huh, guys? That somehow, sometimes, we lose focus of the main goal of the Seder night. And maybe we don't, maybe we do talk about it, but sometimes we lose focus. There's a lot of details there, especially in the Haggadah itself, especially in Maggid itself. There's just a lot of different topics and a lot of things that can come up, and you know, and sometimes we lose sight of some of the main goals. So I thought what we'd do today is talk about what I think is maybe the main goal, or at least one of the main goals, and how it comes out actually in a specific specific way in the on the Seder night. Okay, so there are, just to, as in terms of intro, there are two mitzvos that come up in the Haggadah. They exist for us all the time. And that is the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? To remember or even mentioning, right? Okay. Right? To notice, to note, to mention, to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? That's something that we do every single day, right? In the Shema. That's how we do it. We'll talk about that more. And then there's this thing that we do called Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim that we do, we're supposed to do once a year. We in Galus do it twice. But you do it once a year, and that's at the Seder, right? That's the mitzvah of Vihigadat Labincha Bayom HaLim, where you're going to tell the story to your child. That's why it's called the Haggadah, right? We're telling a story, fine. But those are not the same mitzvah. They're not the same. And part of the question that we have to understand is, why are they not the same? Why do we need both? What's the goal of having both? And there's and actually how it comes up in the Haggadah itself, actually, which is very interesting. So take a look at source number one. This is a Gemara in Brachos, which will be familiar to you. It's a Mishnah in Brachos, which is familiar to you because it is in the it's in the Haggadah also, right? We say Maskirin Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelos. We mention. Right, so by the way, that's also a language of Lizkor. Lizkor, we say to remember, but Lahazkir is to mention, because when I mention something, then we remember it, right? But it's not the same. It's the same shorash, not the same word. Right, so Maskir, we mention Yitzias Mitzrayim at night. Okay, so I'm Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Hari ani keven shivim shana. I'm like a 70-year-old man. So the whole story about how that happened to him. But the bottom line is, right, meaning I've been around the block, he says. Velo zachiti, I didn't ever have the zechus, the opportunity to know, sh'te'aymar Yitzias Mitzrayim balelos. I never knew that you should mention Yitzias Mitzrayim, the leaving from Egypt, at night. He's not talking about the Seder night. He's talking about every day of the year or every night of the year. Right? I didn't know that, he says. I've been around for a while. I never knew this until Darsha ben Zoma, until Ben Zoma made a drasha. What was Ben Zoma's drasha? Shenamar, Laman Tiskores Yom Tzitzcha Meretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayach. The pasuk says that you should mention or remember the day you left Egypt, all the days of your life, all the days of your life, right? And we say, so he says Yemei Chayach Hayamim Kol Yemei Chayach Halelos. What does that mean? Very simple drasha story that happens in the Gemara a lot of times, right? The Gemara always. Looks at a pasuk and says, well, what is the minimum I could have said to get, we've done this before, right? The minimum I need to get, to make my point. So I wanted to say you should mention Yitzias Mitzrayim every day. I would say, mention Yitzias Mitzrayim Yemei Chayecha, right? On the days of your life. Presumably means every day, right? Why? So Yemei Chayecha, so why do I need both? So one drasha is, Ben Zoma says, Yemei Chayecha Hayamim. Yemei, why say Yemei Chayecha? The days. Kol Yemei Chayecha, what do you mean kol? All of them? Of course it's all of them. Why kol? To kol must be come to you something new, which is not just the days, but also the nights. Okay? Practically meaning what?
Shema, twice a day.
Yeah, so we do that in Shema. Right? We do that in Shema. we say, we mention the third paragraph of Shema, we mention Yetzias Yitzrayim, right, both in the morning and we do it at night. That's what Ben Zoma made that drasha. So Blas Mitzrayim says, there's so many questions in this Mishnah. He never knew, like, well, he didn't say Shema at night, whatever. He didn't say three paragraphs of Shema at night. Maybe not. He only said two. I don't know. But fine. That's not our comment. You can talk about that Seder if you want. Or maybe we'll talk about. Maybe we shouldn't talk about that at the Seder, right? We'll see as we move along, right? How do we direct conversation at the Seder? But based on what we're going to talk about today. So, but the bottom line is, fine. Because this drasha teaches me that I both learn. I have to mention Yitzrayim during the day. And then, yes, we practically do that in the third paragraph of Shema, but fine. V'chachamim omrim, yimei chayecha alam azeh, ko yimei chayecha lahavi l'mos ha-mashiach. Okay? Yimei chayecha means that now, right? And kol, what do you mean, the extra word kol? To teach me, l'mos ha-mashiach. Also complicated, what does it mean when a person dies? No, it means that even after, alam hazeh means the non-messianic world, the world without Mashiach. Mashiach means even after Mashiach comes, we're still going to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, which itself is an interesting question, right? At some point, there's lots of Mamari Chazal that say that once Mashiach comes, we're no longer going to celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim in the same way. Why? Because the greatness of the Geula of Mashiach will so overshadow Yetzias. Fine. Well, that's a different conversation. But the point is that's what he says. Fine. But the question is, this is a great, interesting, cool conversation. It's very interesting, right? Like, wow, I thought about that twice, not twice, days, Mashiach, all amazing. Except none of it has to do with Pesach. I mean, it does a little. It does have to do with Pesach, right? It has to do with Pesach. It has to do with the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But what does it not have to do with?
The Seder itself.
The Seder. It doesn't really have to do with what we're doing that night, right? And it doesn't. It seems as though, at least at first, it has nothing to do with what we said, what we're doing at night. That this is a mitzvah that we do every single day. This is not the mitzvah. This is the a good shir about saying Krishna. Fine, but like what does that do with the Seder? Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, good. So good. Let's keep going. Look at the Rambam. I'm throwing some things. That's question number one. Question number one is, what is this whole thing even doing here? Right. What's it doing in the Haggadah? Source number two, which you can probably say about a lot of pieces of the Haggadah, right? The Haggadah is an interesting book, but fine. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Kriyas Shema. Source number two. Af al pi she'ein mitzvah tzitzis nohegas balayla, korin osa balayla. So the third paragraph of Shema, right? How's that one start? Right? So that whole parsha is about the parsha of tzitzis, right? So the rule is in general that the pasuk says by tzitzis urisem oso uzuchartem as kol mitzvot Hashem. You should see them and remember the mitzvah. So the Gemara makes a drasha that you only wear tzitzis when you can see them, meaning during the day. But there's no mitzvah of tzitzis at night, because if people wear tzitzis at night, if they're going out at night, they're wearing regular clothing, fine, yeah, they do. But there's not really, fundamentally, the mitzvah of tzitzis is daytime mitzvah, not a nighttime mitzvah. Okay? Fine. So if that's true, that's why it's a mitzvah of tzitzis on Gerama, fine. But the bottom line is, it's a daytime mitzvah. Okay, so the Rambam says, if that's true, which paragraph of Shema should we not be saying at night? The third paragraph. Why? Because it's really the parsha of tzitzis. It's the mitzvah of the word tzitzis. So why would I mention that parsha at nighttime? Nighttime is not a zman of tzitzis. Okay? So says the Rambam, even though the nighttime is not a zman of tzitzis, we read it anyways. Korin osa b'layla. We read it at night anyways. Mipnei sheyesh ba zichron yetzias Mitzrayim. It has the tzitzis Mitzrayim in it. You have to mention tzitzis time at day and night. How do we know? From our mission that we just saw, right? Okay. Ukriyas shalosh parshios elu al seder zeh hi hanikres kriyashma. And reading these three paragraphs in this order, shema vaya vayomer, that is what we call kriyashma. Okay. I ask you a question. If I need to make sure that I mention. You'd see us in Shrine at night. Is there some other way I could have accomplished that?
Yeah, you could just say a sentence.
Yeah. I could have said, I don't know, I don't know. I could have said lots of psukim that talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, which are not the Shema, right? And the Rambam even says, like, these three paragraphs are called Shema, right? Presumably, if I wanted to have this responsibility to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim day and night. I could, so daytime, maybe I'll do it with Shema, because why not? I'm have a Shema anyways. I have to mention the Parsha of Tzitzis, because the daytime, that's a daytime mitzvah, fine. But I, at nighttime, I don't need that. So have some other thing that I say. Read, I don't know, read something from Parsha's Bo. Right. Why do I have to do so as part of the Kriya Shema? Okay, I don't know, you're like, having answers already.
No, just
right? Okay, yeah, right? But it's good. They're good. You have answers. You have answers. That's good. But right, it's kind of, I don't know, it doesn't have to be. We just assume it because it's always been that way. It doesn't have to be like that. Fine, that's question number two. Question number three. Okay, source number three actually comes from Haggadah. Okay? And source number three tells a story. It's Seyomad, Ma Bikesh Lavan Harami La Sosa Yaakov Avinu. Right? That Lavan was worse than Paro. Paro just made Gzeiros against the boys, and Lavan tried to get rid of everybody. How do I know? Shanet Mar. And we start quoting the Pesukim, and then we go through all these Pesukim that talk about the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the first one is Arami Oved Avi, Vayered Mitzrayma, Vayagar Shav Mseimaat, Vayisham Logagadot Zmarav. Right? My father was a wandering Aramean. There's 100 different ways to explain what this passage is referring to. Some say it's talking about Lavan. But the point is, it then starts this long story of the story of leaving Egypt. Okay? And we basically have like six, seven psukim, which we go through and we darshan each one, right? That's the part of this Haggadah that everyone has a harder time with, and we go through fast. We've already, everyone said the Divrei Torah on the first parts, and now everyone just kind of like reads, you know? And like, I like the art school kids, Haggadah has them like in color, so you know how to like, you know, stay with it. But it's hard. That's actually the main thing of the Haggadah, right? You're telling the story of leaving Egypt. But the story is told of leaving Egypt based on these six psukim, which are found way later on, Sefer Bamidbar, I think, about Vidoy Meiser. When a person would come to bring their Meiser to the Beis HaMedash, right? So you would make this declaration. You bring your Bikurim, you make this declaration, saying to Hashem, right? This is that you basically tell the story of your people, right? You come to bring Bikurim and you bring this, and you say, look, I originally, right, my grandfather, my great-great-great-grandfather was Yaakov Avinu, look what happened to him, and then they went to Mitzrayim, and they got, you know, they were held as slaves, and it was terrible, and then you took us out, and it was great, and then you brought us out, and now you finally brought me here, to Eretz Yisrael, and now I'm here with my Bikurim. Which is super nice. It's a beautiful story. It's a great way to tell a very concise history of the Jewish people. Right, and includes Yetzias Mitzrayim. The way we tell that whole story every single year at the Seder is by using this concise little history, which, by the way, you might just argue the reason we do so is because it's concise and easy. To read all the Pesukim and Parshas Bo, Mishalach, etc., would be much, you know, would be harder.
Yeah, but reading that whole Parsha would be faster than, like, the pages of Magid of the Seder.
Yes.
Or the same.
Right.
And arguably more relevant.
More relevant and interesting, right? Like, I don't know, go through it, right? Which, by the way, you should do anyways with the kids, right? If you have little kids, right? So, like telling the story, right? We're not really telling stories so much at that point, right? And it's a kind of a weird way to tell the story. I would tell it from Shmos Va'era Bo B'Shalach, right? Take excerpts from the story, not from the summary that we're supposed to say later once we're already in Eretz Yisrael.
It's like we're having night Seder at the Seder.
It's like night Seder at the Seder, very good. Yeah, it's probably the night of the most learning, right? That goes on in all of Klai Yisrael, is the Seder night. Yes.
Yeah,
because like many Jews. More people participate in the Seder
right.
than participate in Shavuos night learning. Right. That's a very, very small percentage of Jewish people. Right? It's for sure the most Torah learning goes on the night of the Seder, right? But fine. So those are three questions, right? So question number one is, why am I talking about Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim at all? That's all year. Sipur is tonight, is that night. Number two, why do I have to have it in Shema? Zechira, right? Just say it. And number three, why am I telling a story from Bikurim? Why not bring them, tell a story from the story? Okay, and we're going to try to answer the question with another question. Year four, that's nice, right? Fourth, that was a bad rabbi joke. The fourth question is as follows, okay? Look at the Rambam in source number four, okay? Source number four is the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. So the Rambam there, we're going to have to read this whole thing, but he basically describes, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, right, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, he delineates all 613, which mitzvos he thinks, and lots of the Rishonim had this like fun exercise where they would like tell you which of the all the gazillion mitzvos in the Torah are really just make the 613? Because somehow we have this Mitzvah, there are only 613, so there's lots of mitzvahs that are included, some are excluded, and they have a fight about it. The Rambam makes a list, the Ramban says, writes a sefer called the mitzvos that the Rambam forgot. That's what he calls it. Sheshachach HaRambam, right? Yeah, ouch. But for the Ramban, you can say that about the Rambam, right? And like the Yusadigon and many others, right? Make their whole list, Sefer Mitzvah, all types of books and books and books and books about which one are included in the 613. And the Rambam, before he actually gives you the 613, his list, he tells you how he decides which mitzvahs are included and which ones are not. So Rambam writes in source number 4, Hashorash Hashlishi, this is the third rule, right, of how you decide which mitzvahs to include. She'ein ro'i limnos mitzvos, she'ein nohagos ledoros. I don't include mitzvos which are not forever. So there's a mitzvah that applied only in the desert, for example. Right? So that mitzvah does not get included in the 613 because it didn't apply to, for us forever. It was a special rule. Like, for example, there was a halacha that you had to make a border around Har Sinai at the time of Matan Torah. No person could cross that border. So that's a mitzvah from Hashem. But it's not one of the 613 because it only applied in the desert to the people then.
What about right? Like carbonos? Like he would include that.
He would include that. Why? Because they applied forever. They applied doing that when and it's going to come back. Right. But yes, correct. But it's a good question. So he writes, Vidaki Amram Taryag Mitzvos Nemrul Lemoshe B'Sinai. Right, we say that the Gemara Makkah says we were given 613. Mora al Hayos Zeha Mispar Hu Mispar HaMitzvos HaNoagos LaDoros. And those are the mitzvahs that would be done for generations. Ki mitzvah she'ina noagos LaDoros in Kesher Lehem B'Sinai Hein Shenemru B'Sinai Obuzuzos. They don't maintain that connection in the same way. Fine. So we don't even have to go into this whole thing. But that's what he says. Okay? And one of the things one might notice, if you went through and you counted, you can take my word for it, and you counted the Rambam 613, you went through and checked, there's one mitzvah that's not there that you might think would be there, the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a pretty important mitzvah. It's in the Haggadah. We do it twice a day. And for some reason, the Rambam does not count that mitzvah as one of the mitzvahs. Okay, so that's question number 4, but as we answer this question, hopefully we'll get some clarity on the other ones. So the Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, right, so Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was, before he was the grandfather of the Rav, he was the grandfather of Rav Soloveitchik, right? But he was in his generation, in Brisk, so he was like a big, what do you call him? He created a revolution in learning. Right? It used to be that people would learn, and they would say, Tosfos says this, and Rashi says this, and Tosfos makes more sense, so we hold like Tosfos. Okay? Now that makes sense. Sometimes you have to decide which one, where you're going to go, which direction you're going to go. Rav Chaim said, no, all the Rishonim know what they're doing. Mm. Everyone's right. So must be there's something foundationally different. Right? Tosfos says this, A, and Rashi says B. It's not because Tosfos is right and Rashi is wrong. It's because they have some fundamental disagreement, right, about the way you view whatever sugya you're learning. And so that was like known as the Brisker approach to learning. And he was very... it created quite a revolution, and to the extent that to this very day, if you go to learn in yeshivas in the world, most yeshivas learn in the way of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Because he was known as this tremendous, tremendous, unique person in learning, and he happened to be his one of his children, son of Moshe Soloveitchik. But Moshe Soloveitchik eventually came to the United States and became Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva University, and one of his children was Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, the Rav Soloveitchik. So the Rav in many, many places, whenever he would write and talk, so he would say ideas he heard from his father, Rav Moshe, and very, very, very often ideas he heard from Rav Chaim, his grandfather. So Rav Chaim asked this question, why is it that the Rambam doesn't include, and most of what the Briskers did often was take apart every word in the Rambam and understand the Rambam said it this way and not that way, there's a reason. Right? The Rambam, they would treat the Rambam like, in fact, Rabbi Soloveitchik's school that he started in Boston is called Maimonides. Right? It's called Maimonides. Yeshivat Rambam. That's where I went to school. So Soloveitchik writes in one of the shiurim that he gave. So he talked about this question: why the Rambam doesn't include Zechir Tzitzim Tzitzim one of the 613. And he gives two answers. Okay, one's like nice, and one is more for foundational. Okay, so the first answer that he gave is the following. Look at source number 5. He writes, "V'teretz hagrach." Hagrach is a hagon Rav Chaim. So that's all. So one answer that Rav Chaim gave, "Did be Mishnah Seinu in our Mishnah, right? Nechlatu v'lozer ben Zayv v'chachamim in maskir and yitzias mitzrayim balelos." Right. The question was, do you mention yitzias mitzrayim at night? Right. Do we do that at night? That was the question that they were dealing with our original Mishnah. Right. V'yisod machlok asam. What was their basic machlokas, their debate? Who kitzal didrosh et hapasuk kol yemichayachar? How do you take apart that pasuk? How do you make it make sense? The Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah derashin and the Rabbis is halelos. Elazar ben Azariah says it means to include also night, right? The Chachamim dorashim lahavi limos Mashiach. And the Chachamim said no. It teaches me that I'm going to mention to this time even after Mashiach comes. Okay, v'im kain. But if that's true, Yotze the Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah hadorish kol the Rabbis is halelos leka drashet the mitzvos the chiyus tzitzim tzitzim no heges limos Mashiach. According to Elazar ben Azariah, again we have two words, or two things. Yimei Chayecha and Kol Yimei Chayecha. Yimei Chayecha means to do it every day. Kol means to add some other time that I otherwise wouldn't have said it. So he says Kol means also at night. Chachamim say, no, I'll tell you what Kol means after Mashiach comes. So the Chachamim say Kol means after Mashiach comes, then what does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah think about Mashiach? According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, when Mashiach comes, what's going to happen?
Not necessarily.
Right, but Rav Chaim wants to say that it means that when Mashiach comes, no more mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why? Because I don't have a drasha for it. Right? I have a drasha only for night. I don't have a drasha. Okay, you could argue he has another way of learning that.
Yeah.
Right? But he wants to say that point. But if that's true, now I can answer why the Rambam doesn't include Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim in the 613. Why? Because what's his rule?
It's only for things that are going to be forever. Temporary.
Since there's some time when this mitzvah is going to end, that's why he doesn't include it. Cool. Cute answer. Is it going to happen? Not going to happen? I don't know. We'll find out. Mos Mashiach. Mitzvah Shem. But fine. But that's one nice answer. But I'm going to give you a much more fundamental answer. Okay, the Rambam's going to give it, but now he's going to quote a different answer from Rechaim. Okay? Take a look at source number 6. There's a lot of sources today. I'm sorry. Or not sorry. I don't know. Source number 6. The Rambam writes Hilchos Kriyat Shema. He writes as follows. Oh, well, we saw part of this Rambam already. That these three parshios are considered Shema, all of them together, right? Fine. Yeah. So there's another Gemara in source number 7, which we won't read inside for right now, but it basically says that there's an importance of reading all three paragraphs of Shema. And the question the Gemara asks at one point is, well, what do I have to go back? If I forgot something, do I have to go back and read it again? Do I not have to? And the Gemara comes to the conclusion that yes, even if you don't really need to say the third paragraph of Shema, sometimes you do anyways. Why? For one reason, look where it's bolded, in the bottom of source number 7, after the question mark, the reason why I say the Shema is for the purpose of mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim when? At the right time. What's the right time? The right time for mentioning, so it's day or night, right? Look at Rashi, source number 8, Bizmana.
Yetzias Mitzrayim was during the day, no?
Yetzias Mitzrayim, yeah, well, it's night into day. But it means the mentioning of it. That there's a specific time, apparently, for mentioning it. What's the specific time? Says Rashi in source number 8, Bizman Kriya Shema. There's a certain time every day. You have to say Kriya Shema by the end of the third hour of the day. If you didn't say it that time, you could keep saying it. But at a certain time for Kriya Shema during the day, and at night, you get the whole night. What does that mean? It means that according to the Rambam, according to the Gemara, it sounds like there's a specific, the time, even the time of Zechir Tzitzias Mitzrayim is connected to the time of saying Shema. It's not just that it happens to be that I say Shema, and by the way, I'll mention it, but there's actually like, the time, they're like, it's like the mitzvahs are like literally connected to each other, right? And so Rav Chaim said, exactly. Source number 9. Va'od tirei tagrach. Rav Chaim said another answer. Daliba de haramba mitzvah zechir sitzim tzitzrayim eina ki mitzvah bifnei atzmo. It's not its own mitzvah. That's what you thought. Okay? It's not its own mitzvah. Ela demihave kiyum b'mitzvahs kabbalas al malchus shemayim de kriya shema. Why do we say Shema? Shema Yisrael Hashem, Lakin Yoshem Echad, this beautiful thing, right? When they had all of Klai Yisrael say Shema at the same time, right? The Shema is what? It's an opportunity to accept upon ourselves the yoke of heaven, that Hashem is the king. Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Says the Rambam, why does the Gemara connect the two so, even if that's the same time for the two mitzvahs? Because they're one mitzvah. Reminding ourselves that Hashem controlled nature, right? And took us out of Egypt with crazy signs and wonders. It's the same thing as accepting upon ourselves the sense, the recognition that Hashem controls the world. So that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim was all about. Right? What was the purpose? Hashem could have teleported us out of Mitzrayim in 2 seconds. He didn't need Makos. It wasn't for them. It wasn't for him. It was for us to see and recognize and know, right? That just like Hashem can make nature split apart and not work anymore, all of a sudden now you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls nature all the time. So Ramban writes, right? The big miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim are there to remind us that every single moment is a miracle. They tell us that Rabbi Yosef Engel used to tell this mashal of a guy who was an amazing artist, right? And he makes this amazing sculpture of a horse. And he places it on a mountaintop, and he wants the people to go, not so high up, on a hill somewhere. People are walking by, he wants to see, they notice, wow, what an amazing sculpture of a horse. And everyone's walking by, no one says anything. And he's like, what? And someone goes, wow, what's a horse doing up there? And he's like, oh my gosh, they all think it's real. Mm-hmm. So what does he do? He takes a sword, and he slices it in half, and he separates it. And now everyone's like, wow, look at this amazing sculpture of a horse. It looks so real. Right? Why do they notice it? Because it doesn't look natural anymore. Right? By splitting it in half, what did he do? He made it, now everyone notices the thing. He says, wow, holy cow, this looks like a real horse split in half. That's amazing. How do you do that? So says Yosef Engel, he says, that was Kriyas Yam Suf. Yeah, right? You have this beautiful ocean. Everyone goes, wow, that's amazing. Whatever, it's an ocean. Right? Then she gets split in half of him and goes, whoa, God! Right?
Oh, wow. Who is that?
Rav Yosef Engel. So
that's his story?
He's a mashal that he said he wanted to explain that's what it looks like. So, but the point being, Yetzias Mitzrayim is that recognition that Hashem controls the world. And therefore, Yetzias Mitzrayim and Shema, it's the same thing. They're no different. They're literally the same, almost the same mitzvah, to the extent that, so then what does the Rambam do? When he wants to count his 613 mitzvahs, he doesn't even count Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim as its own mitzvah. Why? Because it's part and parcel of Kriyas Shema. It's the same thing, right? And he says, L'fi zeh, on the second paragraph, Yesh l'yashiv lama lo mana ha-Rambam es mitzvah Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim b'minyan ha-mitzvahs. That's the Rambam doesn't include it. Darei kalula hi b'mitzvahs Kriyas Shema v'chilek mimenu. It's included in the mitzvahs Kriyas Shema, and it's just part and parcel of the same mitzvah. U'mitzvahs Kriyas Shema harei manos ha-Rambam. And the Rambam does count Kriyas Shema as a mitzvah, right? Fine. Good. Okay, and the truth is that the Sefer Chinuch says a similar idea in source number 10. Right, when he talks about the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, of telling the story, right, he says, the Sefer Chinuch was a book that was written by a father wanting to help his son understand the reasons for mitzvahs. His son was having a hard time, apparently, connecting to mitzvahs. So he said, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to go through it. This is a pretty tall task to do for parenting. But he went ahead and made a book of every mitzvah, and he explains the details, and then in every mitzvah he writes Mishar Shehem Mitzvah, some rationale, right? Some reason that you can give for what's the purpose of that mitzvah. Again, even if it didn't apply, you would still have to do it. But it's an idea of explaining this idea of reasons behind mitzvahs. And he writes Mishar Shehem Mitzvah, what's the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Mashikasa b'korban Pesach v'ena mina tema imbo lanu mitzvahs rabos azeh. We have so many mitzvahs. Mitzvah say, mitzvah lo say. Why is that? So basically, he talks here. Why do you have so many mitzvahs that are zeichah l'tzias Mitzrayim, or mitzvahs that are part and parcel of Korban Pesach? He mentions. He writes, but Korban Pesach, there's like 17 or 18 different mitzvahs. You can't break a bone. You can't this. You can't that. All that only relate to Korban Pesach. It was basically the first mitzvah that the Jewish people did. Right? Why so many things to do? So he says, and they're all about this mitzvah, basically of recognizing that Hashem took us out of Egypt. Why? Ki hu yesod gadol v'amud chazak b'toratenu v'emunatenu. It is the fundamental principle, right? In Torah and in our emuna. V'alken anu omrim la'olam b'birchosenu b'tfiloseinu zeicher Yetzias Mitzrayim. We say it all the time at Kiddush. We say it all the time. Everything. What's going on here? Lefi shulanu os umofes gamor b'chidush olam. It is the sign and our proof, he wants to argue, the fact that Hashem, that the world has a creator. V'chiyesh Eloha karmon chafetz v'yachol. That there is a God who is in control and can do things. Po'el kol ha'nimtzos el hayesh shehem alav. That he allows everything to exist. The Rambam himself writes about this, that the existence of that the entire world exists through God's existence. He's like the generator of the world. Right? And we know that how? We know that by seeing, right? U'biyadol dishnosam. He could change it. El hayesh sheyach botz b'chol zman min hazman. How do I know he can change it whenever he wants? Because he did. Ayitzias Mitzrayim. Right? Kamosha asabim Mitzrayim sheshina tivei ha'olam b'shvilenu. He literally changed, he broke nature for us. Halozem mishatek kol kofer b'chidosh olam. That would quiet any person who wants to be an atheist. Okay, not all atheists would agree with this. But the point is, it's an argument against atheism. U'mekayim ha'amuna b'yediyas Hashem yisparach v'hiyashkachaso v'yachalto b'chlalim u'b'pratim kulam. Right? This is the goal, right, of talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim is to recognize that what? There is a God in heaven. Right, that's the point. That's what it's really about. Right? And that's the main purpose of the mitzvah is to do that. Okay? But if that's true, that's great. That's what the sefer is about. So how does that answer our original questions? So good. We answered our question why the Rambam doesn't include it as a separate mitzvah because it's all part of Kriyat Shema. But what about our other questions, right? So why is Zechira now, why is it not separate, right? Because the entire purpose of Zechira Tzivtzum Tzrayim is, again, is Shema. Good. Why tell the story, then, from Bikurim? Why not tell the long story? Why tell the short story? So there's an answer that many give. Who is the person who should appear throughout the story and isn't there almost at all? Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? And why are we so careful to keep Moshe Rabbeinu out of the Haggadah?
So you don't mistake that he didn't.
Right. The goal being, we get Moshe out of there because the purpose is not Moshe Rabbeinu. The purpose is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the more that Moshe is included in the Seder, many explain, the more we can make this mistake and think that Moshe is, which by the way, the Jews themselves made at times, right? That Moshe, right? Moshe is the one who took them out of Egypt, right? They say to the Chayta Egel, which was the, right, the replacement for Moshe Rabbeinu, right? And so therefore we get him out of there to the extent that, right, you don't even find him there. And where is he not? This whole story that's told in Bikurim, when we, like, Mikra Bikurim, that whole story does not include Moshe's name anywhere. Right? It's not there at all. It's a way of keeping him out of the Seder. In fact, if you look even in source number 13, right, we talk about, you know, how do I know there are 50, 200, 250? At what point there's a phrase in there, source number 13, 1, 2, 3, 4, right? We quote a pasuk, Vayuham es Hashem, Vaminu b'Hashem Moshe Avdo.
The only time Moshe is mentioned.
The Rambam and Rishat HaGaon, they take out that line. So badly they don't want Moshe's name to be there that they remove it. Okay? Okay. But if this is all true, and it's all about Sipur, so it's cool of word about Zechira, what do I need it for? Why am I talking about it tonight? I need it tonight, the Seder night, is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, I'm telling the story, the whole story. So what do I need Zechira for? So I want to show you a beautiful answer, that it's not, that it's quoted, source number 14, Rabbi David Shapiro. Rabbi Shapiro was the principal of Maimonides for almost my entire time in Maimonides. He happens to also be my brother's father-in-law. And he wrote a beautiful, he was a very, very close Talmud of Rabbi Twersky, and a very close Talmud of Rabbi Soloveitchik, because he worked together with him in the school. And Shapiro wrote a book about ideas, you know, Divrei Torah from the Rav. And so one of them he explains as follows, source number 14, which is a very cool idea. There is a reciprocal, mutually reinforcing relationship between the daily mitzvah of Zechira and the once a year mitzvah of Sipur. We have this actually in many mitzvahs, right? You have like Shabbos all year, and then Yom Kippur is Shabbat Shabbaton. You have like there's you know, once a year we stop on Shabbos, and then once every 7 years we have Shemitah. You have Shemitah every 7 years, and then once every 50 years you have the Super Shemitah of Yovel. You have like interlocking cycles that way. And he wants to argue that the Zechira and Sipur also are interlocking cycle. What do you mean? In what way? As Rabbi Yitzchak Twersky Zatzal, the Rav's son-in-law and devoted disciple, formulated it. Rabbi Shapiro was also the. He was like the shamus in the shul. Rabbi Twersky's in the Talmud Shtibel in Boston. So Rabbi Shapiro would, every single Shabbos, would listen to Rabbi Twersky. This is Rabbi Yitzchak Twersky, Rabbi Meir Twersky's father. So he would come to Shal Shittis and he'd listen to Rabbi Tversky on Shabbos, and then right after Shabbos he would run home and he'd write down everything Rabbi Tversky said, and he started writing Svarim now based on the ideas of Rabbi Tversky.
So, isn't he the
Talner Rebbe? The Talner Rebbe. Yeah, it's called the Talner Beis Medrash, yeah, in Brookline. So that and Rabbi Tversky was the Rav's son-in-law. Okay? Rabbi Tversky married to the Rav's daughter. So the daily Zechira provides a substratum and a context which gives greater meaning to the annual performance of Sipur. On the other hand, the cursory mention that satisfies the halachic requirement for Zechira would become stale and hollow without the periodic infusion of the detailed and passionate narrative required on the night of the 15th of Nisan. Meaning, if I would just tell the story at the Seder night and not mention it the whole year, so what would happen? It'd be a one-night phenomenon, or for us, two-night phenomenon. And then I would forget about it throughout the rest of the year. So what do we do? And by the way, and if I would just do the Zechira every single day and night, but never tell the full story, then the Zechira wouldn't be re-juiced, you know, reactivated. So what do? Once a year, we tell the story in full, and then throughout the year, we mention it every single day. Very cool, right? It's like very smart. I mean, God's smart. But, right, it's a way of kind of like interlocking the two. One is the long story, and one is the mentioning that continues that story throughout the year. So I don't just have it once and then forget about it, but if I just remember it in a cursory way, I'll never fully appreciate it when I mention it, right? So it's like a way of doing like beautiful chazarot.
Like
Shavuos,
which is learning Torah.
Yes, it like gives you an infusion, so you can, that's what a lot of the Yom Tov end up being for us, right? There's like an infusion of passion, an infusion of information and knowledge of what we're supposed to do, and that keeps us going during the regular days, exactly. So Rosh Hashanah tells a story in here. It's a story about the Kedushas Levi. You don't have to read it inside, where he tells a story that the Kedushas Levi would at night after the Seder or before his Seder, he would go walking around. When you're walking around Berdichev, and he would walk around and he would listen to the Siddurim of the regular people, right? The regular Seder. And so there's a guy who was he's reading the Haggadah, and he gets to the four sons. And he says, you know, Echad Tam, Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Sheni Din Shol. And the guy says, Echad Chacham. Echad. Right? So what's that from? That's people, right? Feel the Minog when they say Shema. Shema Yishashem Yishem Echad. So what was really happening? The guy didn't know what he was talking about. He said, I have a Minog from my father. Whenever you say Echad, you say Echad, right? So the Levi said, the Vedishra said, no, I said, you don't understand, this guy, he hit it already. He just started the Seder. And already, he has understood the whole purpose of the Seder. Because the whole purpose of the Seder is to get to Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's what we end the Seder with, Echad Miyodeya. Right? We end the Seder with, who knows one. Yeah. Right? That's the goal. The goal of the Seder is to strengthen that sense, right? That there's an Echad in the world, there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And that's the whole purpose. So he said, Givalik, don't laugh at this guy. The opposite. You should give him tremendous praise that he didn't need to get to the end of the Seder. Right at the beginning, he already knew what the purpose is to get to that Echad, to know that that's the purpose of the Seder.
But how sad is it that most people who have Seders don't believe
it? Okay, Steph, we have to learn it. Oh, don't believe it? That's a different story. Yeah. Okay, fine. But I don't want to tell you. You're right.
It is negative.
It is. No, it's true. It's not always negative. It's true. It's a big challenge.
When I think of all these people making these things,
it's a big challenge. But at least I would say, at least they come to have the conversation.
That's why Mashiach
said. At least they come to have the conversation. That's great. Come to have a conversation. And let people spar it out a little bit on that question. If you read the Haggadah. Okay, I don't know. But if you read the Haggadah. All the sons are there. They're all there, right? All of them. And the point is, this is the goal. This is what it's all about. Right? And sometimes we get so caught up in, I don't know what, all kinds of things. You have fun Haggadahs, you know, the Lego Haggadah, and this Haggadah, and that Haggadah. It's great. The Shlomo Carbach, whatever Haggadah you like, the Hasidic Masters Haggadah, whatever.
Yeah, there's a new edition.
The new Haggadah, Melech Biderman Haggadah. They're all great and wonderful and amazing, and it's great, and it's fun, and we should, and it's nice to tell Divrei Torah and to share and to tell stories from our families. We all do that. But we shouldn't forget, right? As we're sitting at the Seder, that the goal of the Seder is Echad. The goal of the Seder is Shema. What?
It's a pretty good part. That's
a good part. Yeah. So just tell the story. But the story of the Bar Dichever. But the point is, that's what it's all about. Right? So why do we spend this time? I didn't know. Zechir, Sitzir, Tzitzrayim, Balelos. Yeah, because that's actually the real story. That's the point. In the end of the day, it's not to get every single detail of how many makos were there and how many do I take out the thing with my finger. It's all good and it's fun. And we do that to engage everybody in the story, to have a good time, and to make it should be fun. Talking about Amunah should be a fun thing, not a hard thing. But it should be a conversation somewhere about Amunah. That's what it's about. And that feels very not sophisticated sometimes for us. It feels sometimes like, it doesn't, those books, like Garden of Amunah, they're like, oh, it's like, right? But I don't particularly love those books. But I'm just saying the concept of Amunah is not sophisticated. It's actually very complicated.
Right.
And I think, as much as we can, drive the conversation to a conversation about faith can also be about the challenge of faith. This year could be about the challenge of faith right now, right? And the challenges that we face with faith. That's fine. It should be, but that's the goal. If that's the goal of the night, so how do we manage that? What do we do with that? How do we think about that? That could be the conversation at the Seder also. That's fine. But in the end of the day, that if we're going to make our way through the Seder, we should at least arrive at some point at the Echad. The Echad at some point. Yes, the four sons, and yes, the this, and yes, the Karpas, and all those things are all important messages. But to get through the Seder and not mention this one, I think is a very challenging one. So I think that's our goal. I had a baseball coach once who his name was Jeff Coco. I promise you that was his last name, Jeff Coco. And he was the catcher's coach on the baseball team. So I used to he was Roman Catholic. So we used to talk like every once in a while, like theology. He would hit fly balls and I would just be down to catch the balls that come in. So he says to me, at one point he says, I'll tell you two stories. First story is he's from Boston. He goes, Benny, how do you say a bat mitzvah for a girl? I told you the story, no? I say a bat mitzvah for a girl. I said, you say a bat mitzvah. He said, like Bat Simpson? Got it? B-A-R-T, bat, he's from Boston. But that wasn't a theological question. He said to me one time, he said, because we're right around Pesach. Baseball seems all around Pesach. So he says to me, do you like really believe that God split the sea in two? Like you believe in that? I said, yeah. I mean, I was like 17. I'm like, I guess so, yeah. I'm like, yeah. He says, that's good. He goes, look, I believe in Jesus. Don't get me wrong. But I'm like, okay. Because he needs that. But like, right? But, right? And I was like, yeah, I do. But it was actually great for me that he asked me the question. I was 17. No one ever asked me that question. Do I believe that God split the sea? I guess so. My parents, I don't know, they said I should somewhere. It was a good question to ask, right? And it was the first time in my life, really, that anyone ever questioned me about whether I believe these things. And I think having the conversation about do we believe, how we believe, should we believe, is it hard to believe, I think it's a very meaningful question to have. Okay, if your kids are very little, it's harder. If your kids are older, you know, and people are around the table in an adult conversation, that can be a conversation at Shulchan Aruch, if you want also. But like, I think it's a conversation that we have to have. And I think we can have that conversation now more than ever before. And I think if we do, then we find ourselves fulfilling the Kedushas Levi's, story of Echad, that we get to the Echad, whenever we get there, at some point we should get there during the Seder. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So everyone should have a wonderful Pesach.